In Ukraine, one former minister is in jail. Another is enjoying political asylum in the Czech Republic. And the former prime minister is fighting legal charges of misspending state money. Next door in Belarus, the harshest political crackdown seen in Europe in years has left four presidential candidates in prison. And in Russia, judges working blocks from the Kremlin sentenced two charismatic opposition leaders, Mikhail Khodorkovsky and Boris Nemtsov, to jail. In response, Amnesty International charged Russia with strangling the rights to freedom of assembly and peaceful protest. Is there a coordinated clampdown on freedoms in these three nations, the Slavic core of the old Soviet Union? From New York, emigre Russian scientist Yuri Mayarshuk says yes.
A few days ago, we have observed simultaneous or almost simultaneous persecution of opposition in Russia, Ukraine, and Belarus. Of course, it could be coincidence, but probability of such coincidence is not very high, indeed.
But to analysts on the ground in Minsk, Moscow, and Kyiv, each government is following its own dynamic. Russian analyst and editor Fyodor Lyukanov says,
to be frank, I don't see any connection between those trends.
Lyukanov says the Kremlin's top concern is to win parliamentary elections later this year and presidential elections the following March. On the carrot side, social spending this year is to hit $100 billion, double military spending. On the stick side, the Kremlin will not allow street protests to grow into national movements. While police sweep up liberal pro-Western demonstrators, the street force the Kremlin really fears are the nationalists. Chanting Russia for Russians and Moscow for Moscovites, the nationalists draw young Russians who say Islamic immigration is changing the Slavic Christian face of Russian cities. Saying what many Russians believe, the nationalists advocate separating Russia from the violence-torn Islamic areas of the Northern Caucasus. Eugenia Slumar watches this movement from Warsaw, where he directs the Center for International Relations.
Much more dangerous to Russia at the moment is the instability in the Caucasus, in the Northern Caucasus. Actually, we are facing a kind of a very small civil war. People are dying. There is a lot of terrorist attacks. And this is the real reason for the traditional way of seeking stability in Russia.
Slomara says the rising price of oil, Russia's top export, allows Russia to buy peace and to ignore outside advice to open up its economy and political system. Oil is now trading at $92 a barrel, a two-year high. Many forecasters say it will soon top $100 a barrel. Smolar again on the link between oil prices and the power of the Kremlin.
Putin is feeling much stronger at the moment because of the quite drastic rise of the price of oil. So the money are pouring into the state coffer. They will have the money to pay for social needs. And the social needs means, in their way, how they perceive power, is nothing more than the crowd control measure, stability to keep peace in the country.
South of the border in Ukraine, Viktor Yanukovych became president last February. Since then, critics say, he has degraded press freedom, rigged local elections, and threatened non-governmental organizations. After prosecutions of ministers of the prior government, U.S. and European Union officials warned him against using the justice system to selectively target his political opponents. But the opposition's mismanagement of Ukraine over the previous 5 years partly opened the door to President Yanukovych's power grab. Lukyanov, the Russian analyst, believes that a new opposition will emerge in Ukraine, a country that is a patchwork of linguistic, regional, and historic loyalties.
Probably the new opposition should emerge sooner or later, but not the old ones.
The director of the Razumkov Center in Kyiv, Valery Chali, says the Ukraine leaders have to balance their nation between Russia and the European Union. A move too far in the authoritarian direction of Russia would threaten relations with the European Union.
Ukraine has made significant steps to the European style of democracy, and I can't imagine that Ukraine will go the same way they Russia. It's a completely different situation.
Chali and others say the Slavic world's wild card is Belarus. At a time when Belarus has bad relations with Russia, President Alexander Lukashenko deeply alienated the European Union by ordering arrests of opposition politicians, journalists, and activists. The crackdown has been so intense that people in Poland compare it to 1981, when the communist government declared martial law against the Solidarity movement. Lukyanov, who edits Russia and Global Affairs magazine, said he was baffled by Belarus.
It's very difficult to understand logic of Lukashenko because it looks like he is a little bit crazy to have fights at the same time against Europe and against Russia for such a tiny country as Belarus, a sandwich between two major geopolitical and geoeconomic entities. That's very bold move, I would say.
From a distance, it may seem the leaders of Russia and Belarus are authoritarian pals. In reality, Russia cut off all oil supplies to Belarus on January 1. With winter oil supplies dwindling, the Prime Minister of Belarus flies Thursday to Moscow to meet with Prime Minister Putin. He is expected to agree to a new supply price, one that will deprive Belarus of billions of dollars of subsidies from its former patron, Russia. James Brook, VOA News, Moscow.